everyone. Welcome to EMP this morning. Let's just open the morning today in prayer. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you for this new day, this brand new morning, Lord, where your mercies are new and your strength is renewed in us, Lord Father. At this time, Lord, we lift all our worship, prayer times, and this devotion up to you, Father, that your heart will be revealed to us, Lord, and that we'll be just blessed worshiping you and hearing from you. So we give all this time into your hands, Lord, Father. We thank you and we love you. Pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today we'll be reading from page 72 of the Lent devotional book. Neither do I condemn you. Then each of them went home while Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." So going on to the devotion. It says, "I've got you." The religious teachers, the Pharisees and Sadducees must have been very happy to have caught the woman, as they can now turn the sin into a sword against Jesus. They are attempting to use her shame to entrap Jesus. You can't imagine them standing, breathing hatred and holding stones, making her sin a public spectacle. The woman is not free because she is trapped by her desire, by the desire and approval of others. And the scribes and Pharisees are not free because they are trapped by professionalism or even egoism, driven by hatred and hold their status and opinions as more important than the truth. In reality, most people live a life that is driven either by guilt, hiding their hurts, by fear, such as being anxious and fearful of failure, or by anger, blowing up easily. Perhaps they have a need for material wealth, constantly accumulating and having a need to purchase things and branded stuff as a value of one's identity, and even to win others' approval in order to receive their self-worth and value. Jesus cuts through the prison of hatred that surrounds the woman and traps her accusers. Dramatically, he quietly writes in the sand. What was he wrote? Mercy? Turning the tables on the men, he says, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." They drift away. There is no condemnation to the woman, but the instruction, "Do not sin again." She is offered freedom and life, though we know nothing more about her. It is the offer Jesus makes to all who repent, who are prepared to receive forgiveness and break free from the cages of their lives. For John, both the scribes and the woman are imprisoned, but she is the only one who walks free. The truth is that only when you live a life to please God will you then be set free. I guess the devotion, the writer of the devotion today, reading this passage wants to focus on the fact that, you know, whether it be the religious teachers or the woman that is being condemned, they're all living trapped in something. Whether it be the professionalism, religiosity, approval of others, and desire to be accepted and whatnot. And he goes on to say that, you know, like these people in the passage, many people amongst us, maybe even us, that we lived a life trapped in various feelings, desires, and standards that we impose on ourselves or other people impose on us. Whether it be our own sins, shame and guilt, arrogance, you know, religiosity, past hurts, these things trap us, and we live constantly reminded of these things and also not being free from these things. But the truth is that these things, whatever we live trapped in, they're not from God. They're self-imposed because we are sinful and because others are sinful around us. But the devotion goes on to say that even though the Pharisees and the woman, they are trapped, they live a trapped life, only the woman walks in freedom after Jesus meets her. And and despite this woman's grievous sin of adultery, Jesus evidently does not condemn. And he only encourages her to not repeat the sin ever again. And this is the same for us. Although we do live in sin and we do have our past shortcomings, Jesus extends this grace and love to us. But although we all know in our heads that Jesus is love and that he's so gracious, I guess we do live constantly in this sin and also just continually blame ourselves for what we've done in the past or what we're not able to, become free of. Yeah, it's quite surprising that so many Christians, despite being saved and redeemed, that we live in this shame and guilt, and it's quite unfortunate. But I guess if there's any one of us here that are constantly being reminded by the enemy that they're living in sin and that God condemns or judges, that, you know, this is from the enemy, and just want to remind us that no sin is too big for God to forgive. And in the Bible it says that he remembers our sins no more. And the devotion continues to read that. So the woman walks out free from whatever she's gone through. But as we can see, the Pharisees just walk away having benefited from nothing, and they're still trapped in their own religiosity and just their own thoughts and opinions. And that's what I want to focus on today, so that, you know, if any of us here are like the Pharisees, that we could also become free. I've always thought myself to be a quite a critical and judgmental person. And when people are different, like they act differently, they dress differently, they talk differently, they come from different background and culture, they seem so different, and it just seemed wrong to me a lot of the times. I was like, why are they so different? Why are they acting that way? And whatnot. And this was no different in a church setting. And because I grew up at a church, I kind of learned to do the right things. And when others weren't doing the right things, it was easy to judge and think what's wrong with them. And also, maybe for us who have also been going to church for a while now, aren't we also like the Pharisees sometimes? That instead of embracing and supporting those who are new to faith and maybe still living in sin, that we, instead of embracing, we always try to correct, correct, and correct. I think we kind of become impatient and demand instant change and transformation from people who are new to faith. But we all know that this is not what God desires for us to do. And I think over the years, God's just been teaching me how to love people more and to embrace those people, even though they're different, even though they may be doing the wrong things. So as I was preparing for this morning, I was reminded of two ways God always corrects and reveals the truth to me about people that I have judged in the past. So the first actually is very simple but very effective, is to pray for the person. I seriously have so many experiences where I've had an opinion about someone, negative opinion, and God changed that so instantly through prayer. And it's not always easy to pray about someone that you have a negative feeling about. And it sometimes takes a lot of willpower to do so. But when I feel convicted and really force myself to pray, even if it's like a simple prayer about, you know, how I'm feeling about this person and what I think, like instantly the change, I can feel the change in my heart. And the change is so tangible that like I just see like this flip in my heart from negative to positive. It's kind of cool, and I'm always just so amazed at how good God is in that way. And as there's a change of heart, there's definitely change of perspective in how we see that person. And I think really the change is that God imparts his heart and his eyes to us, that we're able to see the person or the situation the way he does, you know, full of grace, love, and forgiveness. So pray for the person. And the secondly, what has helped me to change my perspective on people that I've judged and whatnot is to actually build a relationship. Once you make an effort to get to know the person, what they're going through, what their story is, and maybe the cause of their sin or their behavior, I think it kind of becomes impossible for you to condemn. Like, it's just like when you have close, like a best friend or family members, you don't condemn, you don't always rebuke them. You kind of see what they're going through, and you're able to sympathize with them, have compassion, and also, even if you do rebuke, you know, it's in a loving way. It's in a different light. Just to share a small story, a while ago, I met someone who I hadn't seen for a long time, maybe 6 or 7 years. And that person touched base with me and told me that they wanted to come to church. But to be honest, I didn't want to have anything to do with that person. I think part of me wanted to keep my church life and my outside life separate. But also, knowing this person from the past, I was quite doubtful as to whether this person was really Christian or not. I thought of what they were like before, their character, their past sins, and what I knew about them from like 6, 7 years ago. And I was like, this person cannot be Christian. That would be weird. And I just kept just trying to stay away from the person. But as always, God really convicted my heart and led me to pray. And God just asked me, who are you to stop this person from coming to me? And he also reminded me of how I used to be in the past. Maybe quite similar to this person, you know, living in sin and just having a lot of shortcomings and whatnot. So as I prayed, I think my heart really changed for this person. And yeah, it just became warmer and more open to meeting up with the person and what they've gone through in life and whatnot. And as a result, I've built a relationship. And I think, yeah, after that, it's been good because, yeah, like even though that person may be struggling with sins still, that I'm able to just say in a more lovingly way. It's not like before when I'm condemning them and just, you know, I'm judging them for what they've done in the past, but really just seeing their weaknesses and helping them out and praying for them. So, yeah. So obviously, I do think that the Pharisees here did not have any relationship with the woman. And that's why it was so easy for them to condemn her and just wanting to like eagerly stone her to death. So yeah, I encourage you, if there's anyone like that in your life, that you yeah, try to just build a relationship and see what how you can help them rather than just judging them from what you see on the surface. So just to wrap up, I guess whether we're like the Pharisees or the women in this passage, you know, living in different kinds of desires and sins and standards that we have on ourselves, that we do learn to become free in Jesus. And that we can walk free in Jesus because he offers all that we need and all that's vital in our lives. Can we just ask the worship leader to come up? And yeah, let's just at this time reflect. You know, if there's anything in your life that just constantly keeps coming to you, and it's not from God, that we at this time just bring that to God, because only God can set us free. Only God can give us what we need. And just be reminded that he doesn't condemn, he doesn't judge, he doesn't rebuke you in an unlovingly way, but he always comes to love and to embrace and have grace. This time, let's pray for the author of the devotion, Stephen Lee. He's a pastor to Saddleback Church, Hong Kong, with his wife, Rosanna, and their three children, Ocean, Aaron, and Chin Chin. He is passionate about this adventure with Saddleback and cannot wait to see what God will do. So let's just pray for Pastor Stephen Lee and his family and his church. That God's hand will be upon them and that they will do all that God has in store for them in this time. let's go on to the community focus and continue to pray for our friends and families that are going through cancer, that have cancer and going through chemo and radiation therapy, and also those who are looking for a transplant and getting surgery soon. Also continue to pray for those that need physical and spiritual healing, that God will meet them in their physical and also in their spirit, and just bring healing and restoration to them. So just lift up all those that have infirmities, that God's hand, healing hand will be upon them, and that they will be healed, and that they will know that God has healed them. Also lift up everyone that's looking for a job, that as they go through this time, that they'll continue to trust in the Lord, and that as they go through interviews and meet people, that God's favor will be upon them. To the mission focus and pray for Hong Kong at this time. Pray for the government, local churches, YWAM Hong Kong, Face to Face, Feed the Hungry, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, and the Hong Kong Korean Church, and that also that Hong Kong would be a city on a hill, a gate to China, and that there'll be a spiritual revival in this city. Let's also pray for the missions committee. Pastor Sam, Pastor Eugene, Jamie Donaldson, John King, Sarah Ho, and Janella, that they'll really hear from God, and as they just bring together all the mission trips for this year, that that everything that they decide to do will be from God. Also pray for local outreach, for the community center, Igape, Homey Ministry, SP Lights, Freedom, the Prison Ministry, and Mother's Choice and Bridge. And that all these ministries that individually will be able to reach out to the different communities in Hong Kong and impact the lives of the local community here. Let's pray for the Friday evening activities. SPU, the IP Ministry, EG, McCain House Church, and DB House Church. That as they gather today, that the Spirit of the Lord will be so thick in their midst, that the Spirit will be guiding and just leading all the discussions and all the prayers and all the fellowship that they have. Dear Father, Lord, we thank you that despite our weaknesses, despite our sins, and despite our shortcomings, Lord, that you extend to us only grace, forgiveness, and love, Lord Father. I pray that knowing these things in our heads and in our hearts as well, Lord, that we'll be set free, Lord, from what traps us, Lord, and what puts us down, Lord Father. So this day, Lord, set us free, Lord, from these ungodly things, Lord, Father. And we'll just lift this day into your hands that, you know, wherever we go, you know, whoever we meet, whatever we do, Lord, that you bless everything, Lord, and just help us to be the light that you want us to be in our lives, Lord, Father. Help us to love you more today. Let us hear your word and obey your word. And just be in our everything, Lord. Yeah, we love you so much, Lord. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus.